I've been a bit brave this morning.
Only a bit.
Only a bit. I've got a video in my PowerPoint. So, Pete, is the laptop volume turned up on the desk?
Yes, it is.
It is. We have with us this morning our wonderful guest called J. John.
One of my favourite stories is of the man who's at an airport and he wants to buy a coffee and a bag of very small donuts. So he buys his coffee, buys his donuts, he's looking for somewhere to sit, but all the tables, they're all taken. There's one table where there's one man sitting. He thinks, I know, I'll go and sit opposite him. So he goes to the table, he puts his coffee down, he puts his bag down, he puts his coat around the chair, he sits in the chair, picks up the coffee, has a little sip, picks up the bag of donuts, opens it, takes out the donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down. The man opposite stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, takes out the donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down, smiles. The other man can't believe what he has just seen. What is the world coming to? He doesn't know what to say, so he gives him one of these "if looks could kill" looks. He picks up the bag of donuts, he takes out another donut, he moves it to the edge of the table. He turns sideways, body language resistance, he's reading his paper. The man opposite stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, takes out a donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down, he smiles again. The other man cannot, he's in shock. But he thinks maybe the man's not quite there. You know, the elevator doesn't go to the top. You don't know. You know, it's a banana short of a fruit bowl. You just don't know. The man got up to leave, so the other man thought, well, it's about time you left, you donut thief. Looks at his watch and goes, oh, it's time for me to go. He gets up, he puts his coat on, he bends down to pick up his bag, and sitting on top of his bag was his bag of donuts. He was complaining that the other man was stealing his donuts, but the truth was the other man was sharing his donuts. Listen. Listen, God owns all the donuts.
I was going to tell that joke myself, and then I thought he does it much better than I ever could, so you had a little treat there. As I'm sure most of you have noticed by now, during November we've been thinking about what it means to live a generous life. We started out by thinking about our vision as a church to follow Jesus together and how important it is that we are a healthy church. Then the following week, we looked at how faith is shown not by going, but by coming back and saying thank you to Jesus. Last week, we looked at the importance of giving in secret to help guard against impure motives. We've looked at the six steps of Christian giving. There are still some leaflets left at the back of church if you missed that, which explains those in more detail. The questions for us are, which step are we on today and which step do we think God is calling us to? We've seen how Christian giving is not about the church need cash, it's not about fundraising, it's about faith raising. Giving in response and thanks for all God has done for us. As J. John put it, God owns all the donuts. That's my impression of J. John, by the way. He's not stealing our donuts. He's sharing his donuts with us. I do sometimes wonder if perhaps instead of talking about money for the last 4 weeks, I should have talked about donuts. Maybe that would have gone better. We found and we've listened about what true treasure is. What true treasure is. Treasure that lasts. That is far more than wealth and possessions. The reward of a generous and godly life lived in thanksgiving to God.
We heard about how opening our hands and letting go of the stuff that we like so much, the wealth and the possessions, opens us up to receive the even greater gifts that God has for us. And today we were going to look at two things, how and what should I give? But we're going to miss out the how and go to the what, partly because I've not been very well this week. So throughout the Old Testament, you may have heard some passages that talk about tithing. This was the concept where the people of Israel were commanded by God in their law to give 10% of their fruits. So most of them were farmers, and so every harvest time they were commanded to give the first 10%, the best 10% of everything they grew, all their animals, to God. They also had to give 10% towards the Levites, who were who worked in the temple, a bit like the civil servants, to help support them. And the Levites, they then themselves gave 10% to the chief priest. So he was quite a rich guy. But then in the New Testament, Jesus talks with some positively, he makes some positive comments about tithing. But he's talking to his contemporaries about what they do. He never actually commands us to tithe, to give 10% by law. And also, we might argue that the tithes in the Old Testament were the equivalent of taxes. They helped support what the Israelites, what we might call the welfare state, because some of that money helped to pay for the widows and orphans who didn't have anything. They did also pay taxes, though, so, you know. And instead of repeating the Old Testament laws about tithing, St. Paul effectively replaces all of that with one word: generosity. In our passage this morning, he uses it five times. If you've got a Bible and you've got it open, on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, is it page 818? 818. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. If you can't find it, it's on the screen. Remember this, Paul says: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He uses a farming metaphor, which is pretty obvious. The more seeds you plant, the more plants you get. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? I once tried to resow a patch of grass when I lived in Rugby, and I bought some grass seed and I threw it on the ground and I left it there. Well, not a lot happens, to be honest. When I had to resow a patch of grass in the vicarage field, it's not a garden, it's a field, I listened to some advice, and I dug it over, and I sowed it with seed, and then I covered it with some topsoil. Then I sowed some more seed, and then I covered it with some more topsoil. Then I sowed it with some more seed, and covered it with yet more topsoil, before finally chucking the rest of the seed on top of it. And then I covered it with water. And you know what? It grew much better this time. And we now don't have a large patch of grass where I tried to burn the vicarage down last summer. Christian giving is not about tithing, it's about generosity, an outpouring of gratitude. Now, I know that some people don't like Paul's letters. I do, but I know some people don't. But here, Paul is simply teasing out some of the implications of Jesus' own teaching. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said these words: "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." This is a crucial teaching for Christians. Becoming someone who learns and follows Jesus is easy. That bit's easy. Jesus paid the ransom. He suffered the punishment. He conquered sin and death, all in our place, so that we don't have to. Not only that, but Jesus also gives us the rewards that he earned by living a perfect and righteous life. Hallelujah. Oh dear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mandy. Hallelujah! That is the solid ground of the Christian faith. That free gift. Becoming a disciple of Jesus is easy. Being a disciple of Jesus is much harder. It is much harder. It is costly. We simply cannot carry on as before. To do that would be to mock God. To carry on as if we could do whatever we like would be to mock Jesus' sacrifice for us and his wonderful gift. Jesus calls us to a life of daily and lifelong self-sacrifice. It's hard work, but it's worth it. Think about it like this. Becoming a disciple is like being given a big bag of donuts. Anyone feeling hungry? They look rather nice, don't they, those donuts? You don't have to do anything except say thank you and take the bag of donuts. Being a disciple is like sharing that bag of donuts with other people rather than hoarding them all for ourselves. I don't recommend hoarding that many donuts for yourself. Jesus teaches that when we try and grab on to the little that we have, even that one day will be taken away, because all in this world is temporary. It is a chasing after the wind, it says in Ecclesiastes. One day we'll lose it. But if we let go of what we have, if we share the donuts and open ourselves to God, we will then receive treasure that lasts forever. True treasure, far beyond wealth and possessions. Jesus also said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." It's not what you've got that makes you who you are. That's not what life is all about. It's tempting to feel like that because that's what the world tells us. It was Black Friday 2 days ago, wasn't it? Some of you, I'm sure, did lots of shopping then. We did ourselves buy a couple of things on Black Friday. Some of the pictures you see on the news about the scrums and the fights that happen in shops is quite shocking. The world tells us that life consists in an abundance of possessions. But that's not true. That is a lie. Friends, life is more than a bag of donuts. If we learn that lesson and learn how to share them and give them away, we'll discover what true treasure truly is. The treasure that Paul talks about in this passage. He talks about blessings and rewards. Look down in verse 11. "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Spot those words, generous, there again. Some of us will be blessed financially by God. Some of us won't be. But to dwell on that is to miss the point. All that God gives us, he gives us so we can give it away. God owns all the donuts. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about donuts now. I'm starting to feel quite hungry. The point is this. The more we give away, the more God will enrich us in every way, Paul says in verse 11. You'll be enriched in every way. That is the reward of a godly and faithful character, of a generous and grateful heart. And you know, when a heart is grateful, it is content. Do you ever feel that sense of restlessness, of discontent, of wanting more, of feeling like there must be more? Things, this is just not good enough. Some of that is from God, because the world isn't good enough. But a lot of that is sin and greed. Friends, we don't need as much as the world tells us we need. We don't need all the stuff that shops try and sell us on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, whatever tomorrow is. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. By giving generously, we open ourselves up to receive the true treasure that lasts from God. It's not that we buy that treasure from God, but that as we let go of our money and possessions, which are only temporary anyway, so we open ourselves up. We make room to receive the true treasure from God, treasure that lasts. So I've avoided it for however many minutes I've been talking for. Oh. How much? If we're released from the strict rules about what we should give, the tithing in the Old Testament, the 10% of this and 10% of that, how do we know how much we should give? Paul's answer is this. It comes in verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Christian giving is not a tithe. It is not to be compelled by law. I cannot and should not stand here as your vicar and say, you must all give me. That's not what it's about. A strong man at a circus was demonstrating his strength once, and he took a green sapling and he wrung it really tight with his hands, and a couple of drops of sap came out of it because he was so strong. And then he challenged the audience. He said, I wonder if any of you would like to give this a go. And much to his surprise, at the back, a little old lady who was very frail put her hand up. And he said, well, come on then, have a go. Out she came. She hobbled to the front. And she took the sap and she gripped it and she twisted. And the sap was running over her knuckles. The strong man, wow, who are you? She said, oh, I'm nobody. I'm just the treasurer at my local church. That is not what this is about. It's not what this is about. It's not what this sermon series is about, and it's not what Christian giving is about. If I haven't managed to get that message across yet, please hear it today. Christian giving is not about fundraising. It's not about the church needs cash. It's about faith raising. It is about a generous and thankful response to all that God has given us in Jesus. And so Christian giving is a love gift, one that fills our hearts with joy. God loves a cheerful giver. Friends, are you a cheerful giver? When you put your money in the collection plate, when you see it go out of your bank account every month, when you fill your envelope, whatever you do, however you give, does your heart sing with joy? Maybe for some of us it does. For those of us who don't feel that sense of joy, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you, but it does mean you need to ask yourself a serious question about your giving, about your motives for giving. Because if your motive isn't to give out of a response of thanks, you won't get that joy. If your giving is simply because you feel you must, or because you want to pay for, I don't know, the new TV screens we've got, or you want to buy whatever, you won't be filled with that joy. Because Christian giving is about an overflowing response of gratitude. And then our hearts are filled with joy. Paul says in verse 12, "This service you perform is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." And in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." That's Jesus. Jesus is God's indescribable gift to you. Now, there's much more I could say on this topic, but I'll stop there. Partly because my mouth is running dry and partly because I've been talking for long enough. And instead, what I'm going to ask you to do is over the next few weeks to think about this question. You will all receive a letter soon. Summarising some of the practical ways that you can transfer money out of your bank account into mine. Sorry, ours, the church's bank account, sorry. Whether it's through envelopes or through cash or through standing order, That stuff is all to come. For now, I'd like you to think about this question. What can I give? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So what I'm asking you to do is to think about that. To think seriously about what you have, how much you earn, how much God has given to you, and think about how much you would like to give in response to him. That's what I'd like you to do over the next few weeks. And then at the beginning of 2018, we will have a bit like a rededication service. And as part of that, we'll be including this giving that we've been talking about. An opportunity to make a fresh commitment to God. That's for then. Today, I'm asking you to do what Paul encouraged the Christians in Corinth to do. Think carefully and prayerfully about how many of God's donuts you want to give back to him in thanks. Amen. Please don't bring 100 donuts on the 1st of January. That would not be good for my waistline. Jess does not want to be married to a fat vicar, she tells me regularly.